Listening to 103.1 FM and 980 AM WPFP Park Falls. This is Trail Mix 103.1.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Mayan Vasta Betancourt.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, will this new drug finally be the key to healing spinal cord injuries?
There's been no success in clinical trials of spinal cord injury to date that has led to a promising treatment.
But first, the subtype of OCD that attacks your faith.
This is my relationship with God, and that's a spiritual thing. And this is also my brain, which is a real organ that's sitting inside my head. And it needs treatment. It doesn't necessarily just need to kneel down or pray harder.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down, covered by the Verizon 5G network, and all for less than $30 a month when you get four lines. And the best part? We give you a free Samsung Galaxy A54 5G when you switch to the Total 5G Plus Unlimited plan. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see totalwireless.com.
There are many medical conditions that are misrepresented in popular media, a prominent one being obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. Though it's often portrayed as the need for cleanliness, Dr. Emily Bailey says it's much more debilitating than what Hollywood usually shows.
OCD is really characterized by obsessions and compulsions, obsessions being unwanted intrusive thoughts that cause distress, cause anxiety, and then this compulsive piece, where they're engaging in some sort of behavior to reduce the anxiety that the obsession causes.
Bailey is a clinical psychologist who treats a subtype of OCD called scrupulosity, also known as religious OCD. While it can happen to anyone, even people who don't identify with any faith, this type of OCD creates guilt or obsession around moral issues.
Oftentimes when people come into therapy and they're presenting with scrupulosity OCD, they're asking questions and really concerned about intrusive thoughts related to what if I sinned? Am I praying correctly? Did I offend a higher power? What if I did something and that's going to result in an undesired afterlife? And so scrupulosity is really asking these unanswerable questions that cause distress, right? And they come to us often not even knowing that this is their diagnosis, like what OCD is, because so often people are trivializing OCD to be just about cleanliness. So this is a completely different subtype that's really not fully understood. But the obsessions center around, am I practicing my religion in a way that I should be?
Notice how Bailey didn't single out just one religion? That's because OCD doesn't discriminate. But while it can happen in any type of faith, she has noticed that many of her own patients come from rule-driven religions, such as Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Another assumption people make is that scrupulosity is a product of religious trauma, but that's the opposite of the truth in many cases. Jamie Eckert, for example, had a very positive experience growing up in the Christian faith.
It appealed to me the idea that there was a God who had created me and had a purpose for my life. And that was just something that I found very heartwarming. And it drew me even to make my own decisions to, I attended a conservative Bible college afterwards, which was my choice. Like I was just a very naturally spiritual child. And again, most of it, I think for me was a genuine and sincere and positive experience that only later got hijacked by OCD because, you know, OCD attacks whatever you love the most. Many people that I've talked to that have this, they say this is the worst kind of OCD because it's attacking what is so central to like who we are as people.
Religious OCD latches onto your existing beliefs, then twists and amplifies them to the extreme.
Compulsion can look different, especially depending on what people present with. But one of the most common ones that I see is excessive prayer. So praying upwards of 15 plus times a day, asking forgiveness multiple times a day. Sometimes it involves confessing sins or behaviors that are thought to be sins. It can also actually include avoidance. So sometimes people come to me and they're actually avoiding all places of religion or reading religious text because they don't want to be triggered, right? They don't want to have to start doing even more compulsions or pray excessively or seek reassurance compulsively, right?
The signs of scrupulosity can be difficult to recognize because many faiths praise this type of devotion. However, Bailey says the line between healthy and unhealthy is drawn when it starts to negatively influence your life.
The differentiation can be difficult, but I think one of the biggest things is, does practicing your religion interfere with living your life in other ways? Does it interfere with your work? Does it interfere with your relationships, right? Your romantic relationships, your friendships? Does it cause you distress? That's another really big component. If you feel fear or distress when practicing your religion, then the likelihood is that you may be engaging in a compulsion.
Sadly, it took Eckert years before she would realize this difference. Her OCD first began to creep in during her college years.
I would get these impressions about what I had to wear, what I could or couldn't eat, when did I need to abstain from eating. Even the quote unquote God voice was telling me who I had to marry, you know, and of course it's somebody that I could never imagine myself being with. So I'm like, no, God, I don't want to do that.
But if that's what God wanted, that's what Eckert believed she had to do, even though she couldn't imagine a happy future with this man. Though she was eventually able to overcome this compulsion, all of these thoughts became demanding and oppressive, very unlike the God she had grown up knowing her whole life.
My understanding of God was very healthy and full of grace and very positive. And yet my day-to-day experience just started to landslide into this really strange concoction of all of these impressions that seemed like God was telling me to do things, even to the point, like when I say micromanaging, even to the point of like, I'd get impressions that if I was going from the cafeteria to the admin building, I had to walk this way instead of that way, you know, like I would have to go the longer way. And I'd be like, well, why God? Well, I don't know. But the impression was there. And I had to follow it because maybe something bad would happen to me, or maybe God was testing me to see if I was really in tune with his voice. And if I wasn't in tune with his voice, then what did that mean for my salvation?
These continuous thoughts began to snowball into larger questions and doubts that would get stuck in Eckhart's head. Does God exist? Is my religion the true faith?
I felt like if I don't figure out these answers, my whole life is on the line. A big one for me was, you know, whether or not God actually exists. If God doesn't exist, my whole faith is meaningless. So, like, why am I even bothering with all of this? I would hole myself up in my dorm room for like 8 hours at a time, listening to apologetic sermons about the existence of God or salvation and things like this. And it would just make me feel so good. But then a few weeks later, I would feel the need to like revisit it again and reassure myself again that those answers were correct for me.
These compulsions continued to persist, even after college, when Eckhart and her husband moved to the Middle East to work as missionaries.
I was working with refugees, so I had a lot of compassion fatigue going on. I had a lot of pressure on me constantly. And I had had some circumstances occur in my professional life that felt like a failure to me. And because my work was related to my religion and my church, and I worked for a church organization, it felt like if I fail professionally, I'm actually failing God.
It was during this mission trip that Eckhart had a mental breakdown that included severe clinical depression and suicidal ideation. The couple moved back to America to get her help. Eckhart came across the term religious OCD through a Google search and identified with it immediately. She was able to get an official diagnosis and finally receive professional help to treat the thoughts that had been torturing her for years.
The clergy don't know what to do with this. They tell you, pray harder, pray harder, pray harder, and that's going to backfire on you. The secular psychologists tend to, you know, have a more secular approach, which I can tell you, I have so many people in my support group that have just fled from therapists, which is so sad because they're afraid that therapy is going to make them deny God. It's going to make them sin. It's going to, you know, just push them further away from the Lord. So it is a really complicated, and I don't think any of us have perfect answers to what to do with this. But one of the things that's just been helpful for me is recognizing this is two things at once. This is my relationship with God, and that's a spiritual thing. And this is also my brain, which is a real organ that's sitting inside my head, and it needs treatment. It doesn't necessarily just need to kneel down or pray harder.
Bailey says a lot of providers either don't know how to treat religious OCD or they miss the signs altogether. And since the illness is so intertwined with someone's faith, there's a big fear that the choice is either to be healthy or keep their faith. So many just don't seek treatment. However, Bailey says that scrupulosity treatment is not at all an attack on the patient's religion.
The goal is to actually bring you closer to your faith and practice faith in a way that aligns more with your faith community and with the tenets of the faith. I always say that OCD has a very intense way of hijacking our faith and making us believe we have to do X, Y, and Z to be, you know, a Christian, for example. That's not the case. The goal, what we really want to do is just provide them with the ability to do whatever people in their community do as a part of their normal faith practice.
And this is achieved through exposure and response prevention.
And it essentially involves exposing an individual to situations that they fear and then using response prevention while being exposed. So what does response prevention mean? That means we're not going to allow you to engage in the compulsion, or we're going to reduce the compulsion in some way. Now, that sounds really scary, and I recognize that that sounds very intense, but patient and provider really at the beginning work collaboratively to not only understand what OCD is and how this is OCD, but we really work to lay out what would be the least distressing situation that you could possibly put yourself in where we could fight OCD just a little bit, right? We're going to gradually start exposing them to things they fear, rather than throw them into the deep end of the pool without any floaties.
This helps the patients learn to tolerate anxiety and realize that they can get through the uncomfortable feelings without needing to act on the compulsion.
OCD doesn't care about their faith. OCD cares about OCD. So we may ask patients to do things like pray less. And that feels like that is the least religious thing you can do. But if you're coming from a place where you're already excessively praying and you're only communicating with your higher power out of fear, then we don't want that. We don't want to ever interfere with a relationship with God or a higher power, but we do want that connection to be meaningful and be comforting, not driven by fear.
Since the goal is to heal the OCD while keeping the faith intact, Bailey's an advocate for having a faith leader be present for this journey so that they're also able to pinpoint normal practices from OCD-driven ones.
You don't have to pick like your health or your mental health over your religion. It's hard work, but I think it's so valuable. It's such a protective factor. Religion is so important in people's lives. I would never ask somebody to leave their faith just because OCD got hard. There's so much you can overcome.
You can find more information about Dr. Emily Bailey, Jamie Eckert, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield. This segment is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Coming up, a new approach to treating spinal cord injuries when Radio Health Journal returns.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
The spine is a central part of the body. It keeps us standing upright and connects different parts of our skeleton, but most importantly, it protects our spinal cord. This column of nerve tissue runs from the base of the skull down to the low back and connects our brain to the rest of the body. Since it's such an essential component, it's no surprise that the spinal cord is protected by 3 layers of tissue along with the solid bone of the spine. However, it's not invincible. More than 300,000 Americans are currently living with a spinal cord injury, and there are around 18,000 new cases each year. Dr. Daniel Michaels says that even a slight incident can have major repercussions.
The spinal cord injury connects the brain with the rest of the body via nerve cells, and following the injury, nerve connections are lost, and this can result in a range of symptoms, including loss of muscle function, strength, loss of sensation, loss of bladder and bowel function, as well as sexual function. So it's a whole range. It really depends on the level of the injury within the spinal cord, what symptoms occur, and the severity of the injury to the spinal cord.
Michael is a neurologist and chief medical officer at NerveGen, a biotech company. Unfortunately, there aren't many options when it comes to recovery. If there's damage to the spine itself, surgery is often required to stabilize the bone and remove any pressure that's built up, since that can cause further damage.
And then it's really a matter of rehabilitation. So right after spinal cord injury, the patient is going to have some deficits depending upon, again, the level and the severity of the injury, and they have to learn to cope with that and to try to maximize recovery.
Patients will first undergo an inpatient rehab program while they recover from surgery. After they're released from the hospital, they'll switch to outpatient rehabilitation.
They'll come back for a period of a couple of months or 3 months to undergo further rehabilitation, sometimes it's even longer, and there can be recovery. The spinal cord does have the capacity to repair itself to some extent, so there is some spontaneous recovery, and people can learn to function despite some of their limitations, but unfortunately, it's very incomplete. And beyond rehabilitation, there's certainly nothing approved by the FDA to restore connections and to result in improved function after spinal cord injury.
Since there's often no chance of having a complete recovery, the rehab works to improve the functions the patient has left. For example, if the patient has limited hand movements, they'll work to be able to hold an object or open a door. However, in rare cases, there is a possibility for new nerve connections to be formed, but it's often blocked by the body's healing process.
So after a spinal cord injury, there's a scar that forms, and this scar actually does help to protect the spinal cord from further injury. But the downside is there are substances in the scar, inhibitors, that inhibit nerve repair. So there may be some very low level of spontaneous repair that happens. And with rehab, we're trying to take advantage of that and get the most out of it. But the other approach that we're taking is with MVG-291, it has been shown to enable, promote nerve repair in our early studies.
NVG-291 is a peptide that blocks the substances which are stopping the body from repairing the damaged nerves. Essentially, it's helping the body fully complete the healing process. The drug has been approved by the FDA's Fast Track program, which speeds up the development and review of products that treat serious conditions or fill a gap in medicine. NVG-291 has been previously tested in rodents and shown really promising results in terms of muscle function.
What has been seen is that in different models of spinal cord injury, NVG-291 has been shown to improve mobility, ability to get around, as well as improve the ability to function with the hand, such as in grasping. The previous experiments have also shown improvements in bladder function, which, you know, aside from improving muscle strength and mobility, that would be great. Even if a treatment can just improve bladder function, that can be a huge importance, improving the quality of life of a person living with spinal cord injury.
In the preclinical trials, 100% of the injured animals had partial to complete recovery of bladder function. Another promising result revealed that these benefits happen even if the injury occurred years before. The researchers have now moved testing into humans and are studying two groups. The first includes patients 1 to 10 years past the time of their injury, and the second group has experienced a spinal cord injury within the last few months. Both groups are still open for enrollment. It's a 16-week trial hosted in Chicago, and NerveGen is providing housing and transportation support to anyone interested but unable to afford the travel. After finding positive effects in animal models, the researchers are eager to see how the results translate to humans. During the study, they'll be able to see if the drug is working by measuring the electrical connectivity.
If you try to move a muscle, your brain will send an electrical impulse that goes down through the spinal cord, and your muscle will contract. You know, as humans, we have control. We have voluntary muscle control. We can measure that electrical impulse that goes through the spinal cord and reaches a specific muscle. And if there's been complete loss of the connectivity, we won't see any electrical activity in the muscle. But if there's some connectivity, we'll see it. And of course, if there's full activity, we'll see that. We're taking a pragmatic approach by measuring the extent of connectivity between nerves and ultimately the muscles in the arms and the legs. And this, if we see improvements in the connectivity, this should translate into improved function.
They'll also be measuring physical traits, such as hand function and ability to walk. If this research goes well, it could change the way we treat spinal cord injuries.
There's been no success in clinical trials of spinal cord injury to date, really, that has led to a promising treatment. We're taking, I guess, a conservative approach because we'd love to see improvements in function, hand function, walking. This has been shown in some of the preclinical studies, but we don't know what's going to happen in humans. So we're also measuring electrical connectivity because it's much more sensitive, it's objective and quantitative, and it'll give us information that the drug may be working, even if we don't see gangbuster effect on the clinical measures in this very first study.
If you've been impacted by a spinal cord injury and are interested in participating in this study, go to connectscistudy.com. You can find more information about Dr. Daniel Michael and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
Tommy, I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down. Covered by the Verizon 5G network. And all for less than $30 a month when you get four lines. And the best part? We give you a free Samsung Galaxy A54 5G when you switch to the Total 5G Plus Unlimited plan. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
Medical notes this week. Some food additives are extremely harmful, so why are they allowed in our products? The FDA regulates the American food supply, but new research shows that it's more hands-off when it comes to certain ingredients. A study in the American Journal of Public Health shows that the food industry is allowed to independently decide which added substances should be generally recognized as safe. They also don't have to report the quote-unquote safe ingredients to the FDA, which means that many are added without government oversight. Here are some beauty products to skip if you're pregnant. Phenols and parabens are common chemicals in products like shampoos, lotions, and sunscreens. New research shows that these chemicals could increase the risk of hypertension and high blood pressure during pregnancy. The findings are published in Environmental Health Perspectives. Are you eating enough fish? Many people have a genetic predisposition to high cholesterol. Thankfully, the cure may currently be swimming in our oceans. A new study in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition reveals that fish oil supplements lower the genetic risk of high total cholesterol, LDL, and triglyceride levels. These supplements should be used in addition to a healthy diet and exercise. And finally, have you cried today? Dr. Claudia O'Brien, an ophthalmologist, says that crying is a fundamental part of human behavior. Experts have identified three types of tears: ones that line our eyes and keep them moist, reflex tears caused by irritants, and emotional tears. However, it is possible to cry without tears. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Mayan Vastabetancourt.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new text to win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price for your Sunday and this first day of fall. Any leftover cloud cover giving way to quite a bit of sunshine, highs in the mid-60s and gusty north winds. Tonight could get a little frosty, mostly clear skies, light winds, lows in the upper 30s. Right now, it's 55.
This week on Viewpoints.
I lost a lot of my friends to gun violence. A lot of my friends' kids got killed. You know why they still in prison.
How ex-gang members are coming together to reduce gun violence in communities. Then,
in most high schools in America, students have very little understanding of personal finance. It's not something that's been prioritized in American education systems.
Why are so many schools failing to teach these basics? I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter, so help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV, and there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Kobe Williams was born on the south side of Chicago into one of the nation's most notorious street gangs, the Black Disciples. His father, one of the leaders, was murdered when Kobe was 11. At first, he was bent on revenge.
Yes, I was definitely on revenge because I was like, man, whoever did this to my father, I really wanted to do something to them, and I definitely. And I remember I used to be at home looking them up on the computer every day like, man, I can't wait till this person get out. I can't wait. I was all about really want to do something to them because they hurt my dad and they left me empty. They left my household empty.
Kobe followed in his father's footsteps as an influential gang leader and spent 12 years in and out of prison. It was during one of his prison sentences that he learned about a revolutionary new program called Ceasefire, founded in 2000 by epidemiologist Dr. Gary Slutkin. His theory was that gun violence was like an infectious disease that spread from person to person. Slutkin believed the way to reverse the epidemic of gun violence was to interrupt transmission of the disease. In other words, to interrupt the violence through trained mediators, people from the community, even former gang members. These mediators were called violence interrupters.
So I heard about Ceasefire where I was in jail. In jail in Illinois, the China 9 news was everything to us. So we used to think about, watch the China 9 news. It was everything, like when you think about the China 9 news, it's like, it make you feel closer to home, right? It make you feel like you see your community, you see the neighborhood, but you start seeing all that shooting and killing that's going on and all that. Once I started seeing all that senseless shooting, that senseless killing, when I was in jail, you know, I could sit on the news, then I say, no, I got to get out there. I got to do something. I got to change. I got to do this. Because I lost a lot of my friends to gun violence. I lost a lot of them to gun violence. A lot of friends, kids got killed, you know, while they still in prison and different things like that. So I want to come out there and be a part of the solution.
Once Williams got out of jail, he went through mediation training to become a violence interrupter and was hired by Ceasefire. Today, the organization goes by the name Cure Violence Global. Today, Williams holds his bachelor's degree from Northeastern Illinois University and is pursuing a master's in social work. He's now director of the U.S. program for Cure Violence Global and writes about his experiences in his book, Interrupting Violence, One Man's Journey to Heal the Streets and Redeem Himself.
And my job as a violence interrupter was to put out fires every day. Like a fireman, it's a building burning down, who comes to put out the flame? The fireman. So that's my job, to mediate conflicts every day in the community I was born and raised in.
He says it's all about building relationships in the community without making judgments about which side is right or wrong.
When you meet people where they at without judging them, they open their eyes to you and they'll listen to you. But it's all about your approach. So you got to have some type of special skills. So we train people in how to mediate conflicts. We train people how to de-escalate situations where it will lead to shooting and killing. And our main focus is to stop the shooting and killing on the front end before it happens. So if I have a relationship and I know two people beefing in the community, if I got a relationship with this side and somebody got a relationship with the other side, we could be able to sit down and mediate the conflict and see what they're looking to get out of it. But we going into it in a neutral situation where we not talking down on them. We meeting them where they at and seeing what took place. So sometimes it could be one-on-one mediations or group mediations.
The Cure Violence Global approach has been effective in the U.S. and abroad. Wilford Pinckney is director of the Office of Violence Prevention in St. Louis. He says the city entered into a contract with Cure Violence Global in 2020. However, the pandemic interfered with the program's community rollout. Even so, Pinckney believes it made a positive impact. Today, St. Louis has a new technical assistance provider called Live Free USA.
They teach and train on a model that has many of the foundational aspects of Cure Violence, but also is a little different in ways. And so Show Me Peace, we entered into contracts back in 2023 with Live Free and with Mission St. Louis, which is the organization that's running the, we have four sites now that we run, three of the sites that were run under Cure Violence, and then we added another site. And so we're a year into that, probably 6 months in terms of the work, because they had to train up and hire staff and all of that stuff. Some of the staff are people who worked under the Cure Violence model as well.
Pinckney says that since the start of the Live Free USA program in 2022, murders from gun violence are down 20% in the city.
We had decades low numbers in 2023. We are, I think, last I looked, we were down two or three murders from last year. So we're maintaining that decade low. Shootings were maybe slightly up 1 or 2% last I looked. Juvenile shootings were slightly up, but they're down 40% from 2 years ago. Juvenile shooting victims are down. So, you know, like I said, we're maintaining the decreases that we realized last year, which were decades low numbers for violence in the city of St. Louis. And we're continuing to expand and continuing the strategies and funding the organizations that are working every day to engage those who are most actively engaged in gun violence or at the highest risk to gun violence.
Even though his department is taking steps in the right direction, Pinckney says there's still too much violence in the city. The challenge is finding the right organizations and people who can make a difference.
A lot of it is in the training of the staff, making sure you have people who are focused on violence interruption. You have people that are focused on outreach and connecting participants to services. And thinking about the data you're collecting, making sure you're maintaining the confidentiality and the trust that is built between the people doing the interruption work and those who are engaged in those communities is part of a best practice. Just thinking about the management of the program, how data, you know, number one, collecting data, but how that data is collected and managed, and how do you manage a staff, providing for the wellness of the staff that is doing the work, because the work is hard work. And so if they're not well, if you're not giving them opportunities to exercise wellness for themselves, then that's not going to be successful.
Pinckney and his staff speak with violence interrupters in other cities like Baltimore and Chicago to get their take on what's worked and what hasn't.
There's other models in the country. There's models like ROCA out of Baltimore that does a lot with cognitive behavioral therapy and helping to do attitude change with individuals. Ready Chicago, which is really looking at employment and stipends. So we're looking at that and we're learning from that model as well. So, you know, just incorporating those types of things and constantly staying engaged with those who are doing the work across the country. So we engage through the National Institute for Criminal Justice Reform that oversees the OVP network. We engage through Cities United, who was a technical assistance partner in the community violence intervention space. So we're engaging with national organizations to make sure that we are constantly apprised of best practices.
Since Slutkin founded Ceasefire nearly 30 years ago, 60 offices of violence prevention have opened in cities around the country in partnership with the National Institute for Criminal Justice Reform. To learn more about the National OVP Network and Cure Violence Global, visit viewpointsradio.org. Kobe Williams' book, Interrupting Violence, One Man's Journey to Heal the Streets and Redeem Himself, is available now online and in select bookstores. This segment was written and produced by Polly Hansen. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price. This segment is brought to you by Capital One. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
Coming up, it's back to school season. We cover one subject kids should be learning when Viewpoints returns.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments.
Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV.
If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
An Audible original series.
Ladies and gentlemen, Stevie Wonder.
5 years of iconic tracks. The greatest album run of all time.
We're going to talk about Stevie Wonder.
Featuring
Barack Obama.
He could define our own reality.
Michelle Obama.
It's not just a love song. It's love of humanity.
Questlove.
That album taught me to dream.
Janelle Monáe.
Stevie made me see myself differently. No.
This is the wonder of Stevie.
Listen on Audible.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. we now have unlimited data that never slows you down. Covered by the Verizon 5G network. And all for less than $30 a month when you get four lines. And the best part? We give you a free Samsung Galaxy A54 5G when you switch to the Total 5G Plus Unlimited plan. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Ever wish you could go back to school? After all, as an adult, it's a luxury to spend an entire day learning. Each year, life tends to get a little bit busier, and that's normal. But for young people, these fleeting years are critical because it's a time devoted to gaining knowledge and practical life skills. But while traditional subjects like math, science, and history are generally what come to mind when thinking about school, many education experts argue that personal finance should play a bigger role in curriculums. One person leading this charge is Tim Ranzetta, co-founder of NextGen Personal Finance, a nonprofit providing free, easy-to-understand personal finance curriculums to middle school and high school teachers. Ranzetta created NextGen because of an experience he had while teaching high schoolers financial literacy.
In most high schools in America, students have very little understanding of personal finance. It's not something that's been prioritized in American education systems. And so that was the other real impetus for me, was seeing both the lack of knowledge students had, but their thirst for it, and a real, you know, asking questions, why hasn't this been taught to us before? And then I think the most compelling reason that I got hooked was hearing from parents. Students were having, I have teens in my household, and knowing how difficult it is to have conversations with them. Well, the students were taking these lessons home and teaching their parents.
In many households, adults never had a formal opportunity to learn the basics of money management, like how to invest or build their savings. But when their kids are taught these lessons in school, Ranzetta says that the whole family benefits. Sadly, a large majority of young Americans still don't have this privilege. Though there has been progress. As of this year, 18 states have passed legislation that guarantees that some form of personal finance education is taught in school before students graduate.
These 18 states represent over 40% of the high school population. Now, 8 of those states have already implemented, and 10 of them are in the process of implementing. So we've literally gone from 8 to 18 states in just the last 2 years. So I think there's an awareness, and I think part of it's probably driven by the pandemic, and I think part of it's driven by just the level of economic uncertainty that's being felt in a lot of households, and realizing that, you know, if we don't change anything, if we don't introduce a course like this or continue to withhold it, we're probably not going to move the dial much.
But how can parents ensure that the curriculum hits all of the important points? So often, courses touch on the need to save versus spend, but don't go into the specifics on how exactly to save for retirement, avoid high interest debt, file taxes, and so on. With millions of young people entering college each year, it's also important to cover the different types of loans, interest rates, and the very real burden of finishing school in tens of thousands of debt. In terms of course length, there are also differences based on where you're located. While some states, like Florida, require that students take an entire semester-long standalone personal finance course, other states only allocate 3 or 4 weeks. Ranzetta says that in an ideal world, students would spend an entire year learning about this topic. But for now, the gold standard in high school is a dedicated semester-long course that covers all of the basics and allows for practice.
One semester course really enables you to cover topics such as behavioral economics. Again, we think psychology is incredibly important. Also talking about credit, the types of credit that are available, as well as how to manage it effectively. Investing, if we're talking about building long-term wealth, really teaching things like index mutual funds. We also talk about budgeting, you know, the ability to differentiate between needs and wants and have students go through an exercise where they think about what is life going to look like after high school or after college as they put together a complete budget.
These basic skills are critical before students leave a very structured home environment and shift to a more independent life post high school. Over the last 4 years, there have been studies from Montana State University and the University of Wisconsin-Madison showing the real-world benefits of this education. Researchers noticed that among students who took these classes, there were fewer defaults, higher credit scores, and lower rates of taking out high-interest loans. While there's still more research to be done, most Americans can agree that money management is extremely important and that these lessons are as relevant as it gets. Ranzetta points to the tens of thousands of teachers across the U.S. who've taken the lead in integrating these modules into their classrooms.
We've grown from zero to 70, I think it's almost 79,000 teachers now have come to our website and signed up for a teacher account that we've gone ahead and verified. And so we've grown kind of one teacher at a time. And I think what we find is where there's a will, there's a way. And so we find teachers who teach one semester or maybe a half a semester personal finance course. But we also hear from math teachers, from English teachers, from PE teachers, who are all trying to bring some level of relevance and engagement to their classroom. And so I think that's the thing that makes me so hopeful is that it has spread. We have English teachers, for example, who look at a product we call the fine print, where students have to read a credit card agreement, a rental agreement, read a credit report, and that requires some really close reading. And so we find creative English teachers who find ways to incorporate it. So yeah, I'm just so impressed and inspired by it's really the commitment of educators to say, I'm going to find a way to bring this in. If I can't get a one semester course approved because that requires, you know, board approval, I'm going to find other ways to ensure that they're getting this life-changing information.
So if your child's local school or state doesn't offer a separate personal finance course, what can you do to push for change? Ranzetta says try to become more involved with the school district. Talk to teachers and administrators about the benefits. But also plan to attend and speak up at school board meetings. If you can, consider running for a board position to have more say on decisions involving the school curriculum.
We've got a page dedicated. It's called Got Finance. We have information on over 10,000 high schools. So I guess that's the other thing that parents and students could do is learn to see what their school is currently doing around personal finance and know that they have a voice. They have a voice, whether it's students or parents, to be able to stand up at a board meeting and say, we ought to be doing more. And by the way, there are free resources out there, both from a curriculum perspective, as well as to train teachers. And the cool thing about training teachers is that they are incredibly motivated to learn this material too. So I can't tell you how many teachers will tell me, you know, not only have you helped me be a better teacher, but you've also helped me in my own financial life.
To find out more about this topic, financial literacy resources, and our guest, Tim Ranzetta, head to viewpointsradio.org. This segment originally aired in May of 2023 and was written and produced by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson. This segment is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From First Time Nana Moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. A new poll out last month by Pew Research shows that TikTok continues to gain ground as a space for news, while other social media sites have sat relatively stagnant or have seen a downturn. News consumption on the video app has nearly doubled since 2020. As of October, about a third of teens and adults ages 18 to 29 regularly get their news on TikTok. For middle-aged users between 30 and 49 years old, this number slices in half and sits at about 15%. So what makes TikTok so special? Well, it's convenient and the quick swipeable videos with broken-down explanations are easy to digest. And unlike traditional media, this news often comes from an independent content creator rather than a journalist backed by a larger company. This is significant because trust in the media has been falling post-pandemic. A report published earlier this year by the Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism showed that on average, only about 32% of Americans say that they trust most news most of the time. With the presidential election just around the corner, only time will tell if TikTok continues to dominate in the space. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. Linkin Park is an iconic band. Their debut album, Hybrid Theory, was the 11th best-selling album of the 2000s, thanks in no small part to its innovative combination of sounds. Vocalist Chester Bennington brought the screams and hard rock sensibility, while co-vocalist Mike Shinoda gave the band a more hip-hop and rap sensibility with his vocals. Over the course of almost 20 years, Linkin Park released 7 studio albums and continued to amass one of the most devoted fan bases in music. But tragically, in 2017, Bennington, the band's primary vocalist, died by suicide, and the Linkin Park experience came to a painful and necessary halt. For years, fans have openly speculated as to whether any type of reunion could ever be possible, and now, in 2024, it's happening. On September 5th, Linkin Park reanimated itself by simultaneously welcoming a co-vocalist in Emily Armstrong while also performing an hour-long livestream concert, announcing a new album, and releasing a new single. That single, The Emptiness Machine, is an absolute banger. The album comes out in November, and Linkin Park is off to the races once again. Some conversations have raged online about the band replacing Bennington. But let's be very clear. Chester Bennington will never be replaced. His raw vocals and the way he could so clearly convey pain and tenderness was one of a kind. But Armstrong brings something new to the band, and The Emptiness Machine rolled out this new incarnation perfectly. The song begins with Shinoda's vocals, a familiar place to re-enter the Linkin Park experience. But then Armstrong takes over in the second verse, a female voice that brings new rage and new catharsis. Still, the song is instantly recognizable as trademark Linkin Park stuff. It has the hip-hop meets rock sensibility fans crave, and it paves the way for a new album and a new era of the band that I could not be more excited to experience. The Emptiness Machine is streaming now. Linkin Park's 8th album, From Zero, is set to release on November 15th. I'm Evan Rook.
John Legend here.
How do I keep my protection against COVID-19 up to date? With a COVID shot this season.
You can get your COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot if you're due for both, as recommended by the CDC. Ask your healthcare provider and book at VaxAssist.com.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Viewpoints Radio Podcast.
As a scientist, when you see something that doesn't fit your picture, that's the most exciting thing, because it's usually the thing that doesn't fit that is the clue to the next big breakthrough.
Listen today by searching Viewpoints Radio wherever you listen to podcasts.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down, covered by